Podcast Detroit studios in the heart of the Motor City. This is Art Junkies.
It's Monday, February 12th, 2018, and this is episode 27 of Art Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and I am coming at you this Monday morning. It is February 12th, 2018 in this place right now because I have switched to second shift. So now I figured, hey, wouldn't it be cool? I'm going to do my intros for the show that morning. Why not? That way I'm actually experiencing this morning with you. Right now in Detroit, is an absolutely beautiful sunny morning. The snow is melting from the hellacious ice storm that we had all weekend. I had to even change plans from doing studio time to over Skype for this week's episode because we had such an absolute hellacious ice storm. It was crazy. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria kind of stuff. But before I get into all that, this episode is brought to you by Blue Demon Ace Wipes. Say you're out in the field or you're out on the job and you want to clean your base metal with some acetone to ensure the highest quality weld possible, but you don't necessarily want to carry a bottle of acetone around with you. You're 30 feet up in the air. Do you really want to risk having a bottle of acetone on your scissor lift fall down and hit the brand new guy down at the end and scar his career forever? No, you don't want to do that because you want to carry Blue Demon Ace Wipes. Blue Demon Welding Products have created the Ace Wipes, which is a handy alternative to the portable bottle of acetone. Ace Wipes come in a sealed pouch, perfect for your toolbox or weld bag. Just rip it open, clean your base metal, and throw it away. That's all you got to do. These things are super handy. I personally carry like five of them in my own weld bag, and I used a couple of them over the weekend. They're absolutely awesome things. This episode is also sponsored by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, and new to the lineup, affordable custom logos to watermark your online content, go to WeldDevils.com. It is your one-stop shop. Check out WeldDevils on Instagram as well. WeldDevils.com. We are devils. All right, now that the bills are paid, I am joined this episode by Josh Welton, a columnist for The Fabricator and owner of Brown Dog Welding. You can check out his work at Brown Dog Welding on Instagram, also at Welder Assassin on Instagram. We talk about the rise of the machines, and with automated cashiers at literally every grocery store and supermarket in America, the McDonald's kiosk making its way over here to replace the fight for $15 minimum wage. Pizza Hut even has its own robot. Automated MIG welders have been in line in assembly lines across America for years at this point. Now automated TIG welders are coming in. I made a post on Instagram and I've been having a lot of fun on Throwback Thursdays. I've been trying to post people who are influential members of, you know, historical significance or even legendary significance to blue collar history. And I posted John Henry and, you know, it really made me think because I'm like, all right, well, you know, here's John Henry. And this is a, you know, it almost gives off two messages, you know, this legend, you know, after you read it, your initial feeling is, you know, hell yeah, you know, man beats machine and that's the way it's going to be. Rah, no machine's going to be able to do what I can do. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, all right, well, at what cost? If this guy, you know, beat the machine by one railroad spike, and it killed him. He died with his hammer in hand. Now, as metal as that sounds, he still died. And that to me, go ahead.
I thought the same thing watching that movie, or that you know, that story when I was a kid. You know, watching a little cartoon of it. Then later on, you think, oh yeah, he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he still died.
You know, and I don't know. I still always point to that story when somebody says that they can set up a robot 12 faster than me. I'm like, let's do a little John Henry contest, you know, from inception to final build. But I don't know. I'm kind of a romantic. I think I would go for the dying with the hammer in my hands, to be honest. I actually asked my wife that earlier this week. I was like, would you take, you know, 5 years extra of life? You can never go to the movies again. And then you start with something harder, like, okay, I could never weld again, but I could live, you know, I don't care. If I know I'm going to die at 50, I'll still be doing it just because I like it. And you see it in football now. Guys are getting out early because of concussions and health reasons. And now there's more studies showing the stuff we're breathing in and, playing with. So who knows what kind of new, cancer or disease could come from that.
Well, I mean, in the name of progress, things are always changing. And if we saw anything, if we saw anything at last year's FabTech, the automation field is absolutely insane. And it's not so much what's available now, it's what's coming. You know, I also heard someone say one time that the future is now. It's just not affordably distributed yet. And that couldn't be so, it couldn't be more true, especially when it comes to welding. I mean, we've had automated TIG welders for how long? Most of the assembly line is straight up automated all the time. Companies like OTC Daihen just constantly killing it with innovations in that area. And other companies coming in with automation, and it just seems to be taking more and more and more away from these production type welding jobs because companies just see the bottom line. Hey, this thing doesn't call in sick. It doesn't come in drunk. I never have to worry about it taking a sick day. If something goes wrong, somebody goes in and fixes it, and it gets right back into doing what it needs to do. But are we finally at that point now with automation really on the rise of, say, a kid in trade school who's about to graduate? Does he have to worry in the next 10 years that his job could be taken by an automated process?
Most trade guys are creative by nature, and there's a Oxford did a study, and it was interesting. It broke down like what jobs will be least affected, what jobs will be most affected, and how they're going to be affected. And it was all either, they were on two ends of the spectrum. There weren't a lot in the middle, and so it's the creative jobs are the ones that stuck around, that people can keep doing. It's the ones where you're pushing numbers, accountants or management of funds, things like that will be automated. But the guys who are building stuff with their hands, they'll always have work to do.
I agree. I definitely agree that there will always be a place for a craftsman, someone who works with their hands. I'm just more or less pointing a light on, you see, somebody welding some bosses in a tube. That's just a normal MIG job. That guy's had that job for 12 years. This machine comes in, does four times as many and better, pressure testing, no leaks, out the door, see you later. Now that guy's without a job because he's been replaced. Now I'm sure Bob's been at the company for 15 years and you don't just want to kick him out the door. So you move him into another position, but that can't happen all the time. If you're getting replaced, you're getting replaced. So how, as a welder, do we prepare for, this invasion of automation? How do we stay ahead of the game? How do we make sure that we stay valuable with this thing just kind of, constantly creeping up on us?
Yeah. There's a politician in the UK that has an interesting take on it. He wants companies to pay a robot tax, and what that money will do is go into training funds so that every job that's displaced, those people will have somewhere to return to get training for something else. I think that's a big thing. Like when a company I used to work with, my dad retired from Steelcase, they just laid off, like, this was in the late 90s, but they laid off a ton of people and sent everything overseas, and it just devastated the community. But in Detroit, when they have layoffs, but people here in Detroit, they think of it in the city, but, we have pretty affluential suburbs. And I don't know.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, that thought went off the rails somewhere.
All right, cool. No worries. So just for fun, I went to willrobotstakemyjob.com. And I typed in welder, and by my surprise, 94% robots will take the job of welders, cutters, and solderers by the year 2024. Now, I'm saying that's a massive stretch, and I'm sure their facts are quite out there, but it's just the fact that it ranks so high. It kind of, yeah, there's probably not really a credited source behind this, but it still makes you think. I mean, I see it even, you know, just in different jobs that I've had throughout the years, more and more automation coming through. And I try to tell people all the time, you know, to really stay ahead of the game. You know, don't just depend on being a wire pusher all your life. Don't just stay in production MIG work. You know, learn how to TIG, learn how to pipe weld, learn how to program the robots that that are coming if you're so worried about that. There's huge market in that industry. You know, a lot, I've been saying over the last couple episodes that I think a lot of people, when they get into the welding industry, they get a very narrow mind of this is what you're going to be doing. You're going to be under the hood and you're going to be burning wire all day. But there is so many different avenues of the actual welding industry, especially when it comes into getting into robotics. And that'd be just one way I can think of to kind of stay ahead of the game and almost ensure that you're not going to be replaced by the robot, because you still have to program the robot.
Yeah, there's always going to have to be someone to, well, maybe not always, you know, 3D printing machines, printing themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of scary. I remember what my thought was. It was that, so when the big three let people go, they did it with buyouts and they did it with retraining. So you had people still finding jobs after that that took the buyout, that left the companies. Steelcase didn't do that. Steelcase just laid everyone off. The community was devastated. You know, Sterling Heights or Warren, they send these guys off and they get, you know, $100,000 goodbye bonus and, you know, access to training. And they start something new. They start a restaurant or they start, you know, selling houses or whatever. But I've seen it work. I don't know on a large scale what would happen. In the UK, obviously, their thing was the government was going to step in and do all of that. I don't know if that's the answer, but yeah, I don't know. It's a complicated question. I think that as long as people, sometimes people want too much perfection, and life isn't very interesting when things are perfect. I think that's one of the things that, you know, hopefully when the future comes and we're the machines and they're us, there's some kind of understanding that there's a spot for both soul and precision. I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows, or, you know, it's kind of a thing that people don't talk about, what's going to happen when all these jobs really are filled by machines. Are we going to turn into Wall-E and go up in a spaceship and ride around on go-karts, watching movies, drinking slushies all day? I mean, who knows? I've seen crazier things happen, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. The future is definitely murky. I think obviously that top percent that always wants to weld or wants to do whatever their trade is, I think that the top guys will always have something to do, whether it's maintaining buildings that robots are in or maintaining the robots that maintain the buildings. I don't know how far you can stretch it out, but, And everyone else has to decide, you know, what I'm sure it'll be interesting to see what kind of cottage industries pop up to service, that transition. Cause it's not going to happen all at once. It'll be interesting to see how we handle that. I think that's a big question that isn't really getting asked a lot right now.
Yeah, I think it is going to be interesting to see the reaction because, you know, and it is, you're right. It's not going to happen overnight. It is going to be something that's very, very slow. But at the same time, I can take a step back and already see it. You know, we saw the uproar for the fight for $15 an hour where the McDonald's employees were wanting their $15 yeah. an hour. Okay. Now McDonald's in Japan, it's a kiosk. It's an ordering kiosk. Yeah. And that is going to be the company's answer to that $15 an hour minimum wage for asking if you would like fries with that. It doesn't seem to justify, you know, what they're asking versus what the end all can actually happen. You know, these companies are taking over completely and they're going to automate you. It's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease or the squeaky wheel gets replaced. If that makes sense.
Somebody was talking about Amazon and their recent talk about going into healthcare and then acquiring, I can't remember who it was they acquired, but they're buying up everything and everyone. And at what point does that become a monopoly? I mean, there's literally government laws about that. And it feels like Amazon's going to be the superstore of, you know, what was the name of the superstore in Idiocracy? But it's just going to be one giant warehouse covering the world, and you push a button, whatever you want, just pops up. I don't know. That's interesting. The big companies kind of buying each other up, and it's happened in the gas industry when everyone had their own family business. Then Praxair or Airgas came in and bought everything up. I don't think that really should have been allowed to happen. And the same thing's happening now, and you're going to just get companies that are, you know, ultra powerful. And they already are, I guess. I don't know what the answer is for caring for our human side while wanting to keep innovating and be cheaper and get more out of less. I don't know. Maybe that starts curbing population. Who knows what that causes.
Right.
But it's going to shape the world for sure.
Going back,
I always think it's cool to think about that transition where we could be a cyborg, where I could have, you know, a robotic arm on one side and shoot fire out of my middle finger on the other side, or just, you know, help think quicker. Like, they already have all these probiotics and things like that. What happens if they can put some kind of nano thing in your bloodstream and it just, you know, makes you feel like Rocky wanting to run up the steps every day? I think that part will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see in athletics how, you know, modified people can compete versus just civilians, and what kind of changes that will make. Does it all of a sudden turn into like foosball, where we're just handling sticks and fighting each other with little wooden guys? I don't know. It's very interesting, and it's hard to see the future. It's hard to know exactly what it's going to look like. I mean, Elon Musk is shooting cars in the sky for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, higher intelligence probably looking, all going, what the hell is this guy doing? He can't drive this up here.
He did is put a big ass bumper sticker on the back of that thing that said, "Just because I could." Honestly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, he's talking about that car like it already exists, and they're like, physically, it's not possible to do what he says it's going to do.
Yeah.
In the shape that he gave it out. But I don't know. I'm excited about electric hot rods. I always have a place in my heart for the internal combustion engine, but I think that the next generation of hot rods is going to be, it's going to be brutally fast. The instant torque with those batteries. I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch.
Oh yeah.
How far it takes us to go from, still driving to everything's automated. That'll be interesting. I wonder if little groups will pop up where they've got roads and they can drive on their little compound and the government's looking for them to shut them down. I don't know. That's also interesting to think about.
Well, going back to what you were saying about, you know, Alexa, and really, like, Alexa is such a leap forward just by thinking about the fact that you don't have to go down to the store, get a gallon of milk, you know, go out, start your car because it's cold, wait, go back in there, drive your car all the way down.
You do it all from your blizzard. Phone.
You do it all from your phone. You don't even have to do it from your phone. You can just say it. Like, Alexa, I need some milk. And then this drone is going to come drop you off some milk. You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind a system like that, honestly, in my shop in the future, where I could just be like, Alexa, order me, 20 tanks of helium. Order me some 7525. I need some, a multi-mix tungsten electrodes while you're at it. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of thing. Yeah, that would help out for the advancement of stuff. That's almost like a companion to it. But
that is
a little more welcoming than the absolute, like, okay, this robot is now going to do your job.
I kind of ask for the ultimate consumerism too. Like, we're always buying things. And I don't know if that's sustainable.
Buy stuff.
I mean, I'm as guilty as anyone, but, I don't know. I don't know what are we due for another huge cultural change? Like, the Native Americans were here and all of a sudden, you know, the Pilgrims came over and the Westerners came over and everything changed radically. Is there something like that, you know, even otherworldly, that's going to happen that'll change the face of what we do?
Some kind of situation?
Are we just going to evolve ourselves? You know, it could be anything. We could just destroy ourselves with a couple of pushes of buttons and everyone's up in a puff of radiation. Or maybe we learn to use the artificial intelligence for good and, making us sharper, making us quicker, as opposed to just completely taking over.
Yeah. I mean, and it really has to be regulated very, very very carefully. Cause I mean, think about it with the Google artificial intelligence that came out. It's always been said like the machines can't create, we can create, machines can only replicate. Well, now, they're actually creating that artificial intelligence that Google had created its own artificial intelligence inside of it. It didn't replicate anything. It made its own. So, I mean, these are the things that are happening now. You know, what if, I mean, obviously this is just totally blowing it out of my ass at this point, but it's like, if, you know, you got a futuristic welder, a machine and a robot that's doing absolutely everything. What if it comes up with ways and tells us how to make it better? You know what I mean? If it just keeps getting better and better and better, you know, the bottom line is you really have to step up your game within the next 10 to 15 years of getting into this trade. If you're going to get into this trade as a welder with the advancements of automation and the way that things are changing and how many processes are becoming automated that once were honest paying jobs for human beings, you really have to get in and you really have to stay ahead of the game to make sure that you are valuable, not just a wire pusher. This isn't just a job. It has to be a career. And with automation on your heels, man, I mean, that's enough to keep pushing me to evolve and change in this ever evolving and changing trade.
Well, maybe Instagram is kind of an evolutionary step because everyone on social media sees what each other's doing and it pushes their game up. And I've noticed in the last, 5 years, there's an explosion of, guys getting into pipe welding and doing some really insane work where that just didn't happen 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. So maybe social media is kind of that the evolutionary step where we just sort of start putting ourselves out there and measuring ourselves against the best in the world. And then the next step is just fighting to stay alive, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, hey, I'm behind you there, man. I really agree. I think that, excuse me. I think that Instagram is changing the entire game. You know, it's not just, you show up with your resume that says this is what your job is and here's a little description about what you did at each and so employer. You have an actual photographic catalog of not just your weld quality, but work that you can do if you work in a place that allows you to take and post pictures, of course. But
if you're posting your own pictures too.
Well, and if you're posting your own pictures too, you know, and not scamming everybody else's hard work. But yeah, still though, man, I mean, I think it is. It is definitely a step in that direction with, like I'm saying, you have a photographic resume of what it is that you can do, right, as long as it's your stuff.
Yeah, no, that helped me. When I got into General Dynamics, I had my business Brown Dog Welding on the resume and they could go on there and see the level of work I do. And it wasn't just, did this job for 7 years. You know, there was an actual, photographic, like you said, something you can look at, visualize, and instead of just words on a piece of paper, it's definitely helped. I think it hurt some people when they didn't realize that every little thing they were doing was being recorded. I don't think I would want to have been around when Twitter started first getting in junior high and high school. I think I wouldn't want any part of that. I'm sure some people got really beat up in that transition, but now everyone knows that everyone's looking, so they take care to stay sharper. And I think that makes, all of us better, whether we realize it or not.
Exactly. Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, man. We're going to have to do this again soon.
Excellent.
Hell yeah. Before I let you go, go ahead and plug your social media where people can find you and read because you're a published writer as well, too.
Yeah. I write for The Fabricator. If you go to thefabricator.com and just type in Josh Weldon into the search, all my content will pop up. There's a lot of different stuff on there. On Instagram, Welder Assassin, and I have Brown Dog Welding account too. Facebook, Brown Dog Welding, or just friend me, Josh Weldon. I'm going to try to do the YouTube thing. So if you go subscribe to my YouTube channel, I'm going to try to get enough subscribers to maybe make that sustainable. So I might be doing some stuff there. That would just be Brown Dog Welding at YouTube or search there. But yeah.
Cool, man.
Lots of stuff going on.
Super excited.
Website will be revamped sometime this month. So excited about that too.
Very cool, man. All right. It was a pleasure talking to you. Until next time, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That's it for this week. Thank you so very much for listening. Make sure to check out www.arcjunkies.com, the brand new website for all things Arc Junkies. Also, if you are an Apple iTunes listener, make sure to hit subscribe and leave a review. That way you never miss an episode, and your reviews ultimately help this show gain higher on the rankings and reach more people. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are downloaded, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all new to Radio Public. Feel free to email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Let me know if you like what I'm doing or don't like what I'm doing. Either one is good for me. And until next time, work safe and weld hard.